Welcome back to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Most of us enjoy the privilege of living independently, but disabled Utahns say they are being denied that opportunity. The U.S. Department of Justice is now investigating Utah's Division of Services for People with Disabilities after a complaint that disabled Utahns are being forced to move into a nursing home in order to receive state services. They say that violates federal law and a U.S. Supreme Court decision. Joining me now in the studio to discuss this is Jerry Cosley, Executive Director of the Salt Lake City-based Disabled Rights Action Committee. Jerry, thanks for being here.
Happy to be here.
We're also glad to have Kathy Garber, who knows firsthand the struggle to get help from the state of Utah for her disability. Kathy, thanks for joining us as well.
Thank you so much for having us.
Jerry, tell me about this complaint that you have filed with the Department of Justice and how this investigation got started.
Well, back in 1990, the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed, and it contained some language in there that indicated that individuals could not be unnecessarily institutionalized. In 1999, a couple of individuals from Florida, or Georgia, filed suit. They were trying to get out of a state hospital. And the state of Georgia said that they would not provide those services for them in the community, even though the state would not have to alter the essence of what they were doing. They were already providing community services. They just said, we don't have money for you to come out. They took that all the way to the Supreme Court, and in a decision called the Olmstead decision, the Supreme Court upheld the provisions of the Americans with Disabilities Act that said it is illegal to unnecessarily segregate and institutionalize individuals with disabilities, pretty much along the same lines of other civil rights issues where if you have ghettos of certain people of certain racial orientation or religious orientations or sexual orientation, then you would not be able to say that these folks have to live. You know, blacks can only live here and gays can only live here. Persons with disabilities should be able to live where they want, and they should be able to live in their own homes and their own communities. It is exactly the same kind of civil rights issue that has been fought since the early 1960s and before. And so someone has said that a law that is not enforced is not really a law, and a civil rights that is not enforced is not really a right that you have. The state of Utah has consistently ignored that Supreme Court decision. They've consistently ignored that law. And over the past 2 years, in fact, they have frozen waiting lists. And part of the Supreme Court decision said that states could have waiting lists as long as they moved at a reasonable pace. Well, we've got individuals that have been waiting over 10 years, and nobody's been getting on that waiting list in the last 2 years. And I don't know of any reasonable person that would say that a waiting list that's been frozen for 2 years is moving at a reasonable pace. There's just been no funding for that whatsoever. And so recently, the state has taken to telling individuals that they have a New Choices Waiver. And the New Choices Waiver was designed for people who had been in nursing homes to be able to come out and bring the money that was funding them in the nursing home with them so that they could access community services. I don't think it was ever intended to be a gateway to community services, but that's the way the state has been doing it recently and telling individuals, if you really want to access community services, if you really need those, then check into a nursing home for 90 days and then come out under that new waiver, and then we can go ahead and provide you with community supports. To us, that's a clear and blatant violation of the intent and the letter of the Americans with Disabilities Act and the Supreme Court Olmstead decision. We decided after working with the state for many years that the time had finally come to seek federal enforcement, and so we filed a complaint with the Department of Justice. They spent some weeks and months talking to us, looking at it, interviewing various folks around the state, and based on that decided that they would go ahead and open a full investigation.
And so the wait list has been frozen for 2 years, but you're saying that ever since the ADA was passed that Utah has been in violation of federal law?
I would say so. I don't know at any time that anybody could say that the waiting list has moved at a reasonable pace. People have been waiting for 7 to 10 years to 15 years for, as long as I've been working with this. And I operated a program back in – I opened it in 1987. And shortly after that, we had an individual that moved in that had been waiting for 11 years. So I think they've been in violation ever since. Just really has come to a head, and I think the violation is so clear-cut at this point, with the waiting list having been frozen, that the Department of Justice finally felt compelled that they needed to take a look at this and hopefully act.
What is a state's justification for telling those who want to receive services, you've got to move into a nursing home? What is the rationale behind that?
I wish I knew. I honestly don't know, because to me there's no rationale to that whatsoever. The percentage of the state funding, the Medicaid funds this, both in the nursing home and in the community. Mm-hmm. And the percentage of the state's cost is essentially the same no matter what you do. And it is a percentage cost. Throughout the country, wherever we've been able to have better community services, and even in Utah, when you look at it, the cost of living in the community is much less than the cost of being in the nursing home. Mm-hmm. So what the state is saying is, we don't have money for you right now. We'll put you in a more expensive option, and we'll have money for you while you're in the more expensive option. Mm-hmm. 3 months later, you can move out, and we'll have money for you then. Now, if we have money for the more expensive option for 3 months and we'll have money for you after that, I have no idea what the rationale is for making people wait, other than there are a number of people, and the mantra of a number of individuals is, I'd rather die than to go into the nursing home. And it may just be that there's a cynical part of someone at the state saying, if we have people that will die rather than go in the nursing home, and we offer them something that they don't really want and that they won't accept, we can say we've offered it. And then they don't accept it, then we've saved that money. And to that extent, there's probably a cost savings from the people who are dying as opposed to being willing to go into and enter a nursing home.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson, joined in the studio by Jerry Cosley, Executive Director of the Disabled Rights Action Committee, and also Kathy Garber. And Kathy, we'll get to you in just a moment. But first, Jerry, let's talk more about this waiting list for services. As you mentioned, people have been on this list for more than a decade. How often does a spot open, you know, in the state's disabled services?
Well, when we checked some time ago, they were saying that the only spots that were open if there was a court order, mm-hmm. or if someone that was currently receiving services died. Over the past 2 years, we've been told that not even a court order will open up a spot. It is absolutely frozen. There is no movement.
Kathy, let's talk to you now. Kathy, tell me about your disability and how it affects your day-to-day life.
Sure. And once again, I really appreciate you talking about such an important issue in depth.
We're glad to have you.
My disability is spastic quadriplegia cerebral palsy, mm-hmm. which is essentially tightness and weakness of all four limbs. And I need assistance on a daily basis with such activities as bathing, dressing, grooming, meal preparation. I employ someone on my own mm-hmm. to drive my van so that I can get places fairly easily. And as Jerry mentioned, there have been individuals that have been on the waiting list for over 10 years, and I happen to be one of those individuals.
And so for all this time, have you been paying the full cost to employ somebody?
Actually, about a year ago, my disability became such that I needed someone in the afternoon, mm-hmm. as well as in the morning and the evening. And so I've been paying the afternoon cost for an individual to accompany me so that I can do such things as going to the restroom mm-hmm. Without the fear of falling. But actually, I've been very fortunate in that I have been able to maintain until very recently in the community just on what is called state plan services, which allows an individual anywhere from 60 hours to 120 hours monthly to help with those activities that we just mentioned.
And Kathy, when did you first apply for services from the state of Utah?
It was when Tammy Wood, and maybe Jerry can help me speak to this more directly, I believe she was one of the first coordinators of what was then called the personal assistance waiver. Would you like to speak to that as well?
Well, that, if that was back when I first started to get involved, that would have been around 2000. So we're clearly over 10 years at this point.
And so what has happened in the meantime? Your name has just been on a list and nothing has happened?
Exactly. When you initially apply for services, you have an RN that comes out and does a comprehensive assessment. And as Jerry mentioned, we believe that that was around 2000. And so then your name goes into a database, and then you receive, they want to do periodic updates as to changes in your health status, to see if your critical care score has gone up any. And so usually that's about once a year.
And so have you been told then, Kathy, that you would have the opportunity to receive services, but only if you were to move into a nursing home?
Yes, I was told that the latter part of December, actually. Mm-hmm. Approximately 2 years ago, I had a very severe fall in while attempting to go to the restroom independently. And at that point, it became clear that I needed some additional assistance. So that's when I started paying for an individual privately. But as recently as this past December, I had someone contact me from the waiver program. He's the new coordinator. And they set up an appointment with the nurse for the next day. And she made it very clear that my critical care score was not high enough to receive services through the waiver. They enroll at 60. And when she was finished doing her evaluation, my critical care score was 59. And that's when she made the suggestion that if I were willing to go into a nursing home for 90 days, then I would be able to come out after that period of time and receive services in the community.
And Kathy, I understand that you have a very negative experience, a past experience being in a nursing home. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, actually, this was several years ago, but at the age of 21, I had to go into a nursing home after a pretty significant surgery for further rehabilitation and physical therapy. And I was, I witnessed several instances of physical neglect and abuse. In fact, the roommate that I had was nonverbal, and she couldn't ask for help when she needed it. And the nursing home CNA at the time was very abusive to her. And so I was the individual that was able to get additional assistance for that individual, you know, by telling the nurses when she needed assistance. And actually, the attendant ended up being fired for the abuses that she perpetrated on my roommate.
Wow. And so, obviously, when you were told this time that you could receive services, but only if you went back into a nursing home, you said, not interested.
Correct.
Jerry, when it comes to the state's disability services, with which people does the problem lie here? Is it the people at the very top of the health department or a different department? Who is the one making these decisions that are in violation of federal law?
Can I also just address one other thing that Kathy said first?
Sure.
It really doesn't make sense for the state to say that you're not quite severe enough, whatever that means, with your disability, to qualify for a community waiver, but we can have you move into the nursing home. The whole idea of the waiver is that the waiver was created as an alternative to a nursing home, and you have to qualify for nursing home care in order to qualify for the waiver. And so it's sort of backwards to say that you don't qualify for the waiver, but you do qualify for the nursing home. The requirements ostensibly are exactly the same. Let me get back. And so I do think that they're playing some games at that point at that level.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if I were to start with the blame, I think it obviously would have to be with the state legislators. The funding has to be allocated for the community services and the community supports. And I think the legislature has turned a blind eye to this. They have been warned that lawsuits may be filed. They're counting on the fact that people will not do that. And again, they're putting the money into the nursing home side. And that's actually if you want to go into a nursing home, then that's an entitlement. I'm guaranteed to be able to go into a nursing home. So whether the state wanted Kathy to or not, she could move into a nursing home anytime, and they would have to fund it. For whatever reason, they're deciding to go that way. I think the people at the top of the ESPD and Medicaid in many cases have been caring. In some cases, though, I don't. And of course, if you speak out too clearly to the legislature, then sometimes your job is in jeopardy. But I don't know that they've really made these issues as clear as they could to the legislators. So I fault them for that. And we're hoping, again, that the Department of Justice will make the law clear to everyone. I believe that, generally speaking, the people that are on the front lines are caring. They're frustrated. And my guess is many of them are at least secretly cheering the investigation.
And so when you try and meet with legislative leaders, the ones who are in a position to make a change, what happens? Do they at least agree to meet with you? Do they go that far?
Sometimes not. And we have been known to sleep overnight in the state capitol in order to get a meeting with someone. We've also been known to just stay at someone's offices for an extended period of time and order pizza in. While we wait to get to meet with someone. So they're not always willing. When we do meet with them, we get a lot of excuses. But the excuses, interestingly enough, have been the same whether the state was getting an annual surplus and they were socking that away into the rainy day fund.
Right.
And it's the same excuse that we get when we know the times are leaner and there's still money in that rainy day fund. We don't have the funds. We don't believe that that's a case, though, of there's not enough resources. Because you are funding the nursing home, you again are willing to have people move into the nursing home, and you're going to fund them on the other end of that. Moreover, you're funding roads, you're funding all kinds of other things, and Utah has a high incarceration rate, as does the rest of the United States. We're willing to fund people to be incarcerated, so I think it's really a matter of our priorities. And I think in our state, our legislators honestly have got priorities that are illegal, as we said, are at odds with the ADA and the Olmstead decision, that don't show much care and compassion for the average person who's really struggling with these kinds of issues.
You're listening to Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guest is Jerry Cosley, Executive Director of the Disabled Rights Action Committee, and Kathy Garber as well. Jerry, do you think part of the problem is this attitude of, you know, states' rights, the federal government is overstepping its bounds, and, you know, we sometimes don't have to listen to what they have to say?
Oh, I think there's a great deal of that. In fact, there's been many times where the state has turned down federal money because of a concern that there will be some strings attached to that and that we don't want the federal government to be in a position to tell us what to do. So the legislators are very, very big on that and do not want to acknowledge that the federal government has a role or that the federal government or Congress can pass certain of these laws that will give us civil rights on our end and take away from their right to ignore our civil rights. Interestingly enough, the legislature believes that to be true, but in many cases when it comes to local politics, they also want to govern local politics. So they don't believe that the federal government should be giving them oversight, and yet they want to dictate to our local governments what they should and shouldn't be doing.
Kathy, have you tried speaking with some of these lawmakers yourself just to say, hey, look, I'm a real person who's affected by this problem?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have tried to speak to lawmakers in the past. I've provided testimony up on the Hill to this issue to try and provide a human face to just a set of statistics. And other people with disabilities have tried to do the same as well. And I hope you don't mind, but I wanted, you know, listening to Jerry talk about this issue, I also wanted to point out that while it may be an option for us to go into the nursing home for 90 days and come out with services on the other end of that time period, I think it's important for your listening public to know that we run the risk of losing the supports that we have created for ourselves while living in the community. And this could include housing. This can include our inability to go to school. Mm-hmm. And maybe we'll get to this at this point. At a later point in time, but I'm a student in a graduate program at the University of Utah. And when you're in a nursing home, you're not allowed to go out to pursue leisure activities, really. You know, so thus my ability to go to school would be impacted. I would lose my subsidized housing if I didn't pay my rent in advance. You know, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, at what point are we in this Department of Justice investigation, and how soon do you think it will be wrapped up?
We're in the early stages of this. It was just a few weeks ago that they formally announced that they would go ahead and open the investigation. They'd spent, as I said, some weeks discussing the matter with us, doing some preliminary looks. To be honest with you, I don't have that great deal of experience. This is my first full-blown Department of Justice investigation. So I don't know, but we've had some individuals who have talked with some of the attorneys from the Department of Justice, have talked about some particular difficulties. I think, in fact, Kathy may have been, and I think there was some sense that they were hoping to have things wrapped up within 3 to 4 months. But, you know, I honestly don't know. And that may be the initial investigation. If they decide to file a lawsuit and the state decides to fight the lawsuit, obviously it could go on longer and much longer from there.
Which, well, that's very important that we're looking into the various But while it's important that we're exploring all avenues and at our disposal, while we're waiting to figure out what their investigation will find, those in the community that are waiting for services will continue to wait.
And what do you think is going to happen to you, Kathy, if nothing changes, at least for the meantime? What are you going to do?
Well, those people that know me really well know that I will continue to fight tooth and nail to remain in the community. But if nothing changes for a substantial period of time, there's always that possibility that I may have to end up going into a nursing home, which is not something that I readily choose to do. If that happens, it will only be after I'm forced to do that.
Have you had friends? Have you known others in that same situation who decided, and you know, if I have no other choice, that I am going to go into the nursing home?
Yes, and I think that Jerry can speak more directly to the facts and figures of this particular issue, but it's not something that's isolated.
No, in fact, we did a grandma request to the state and asked how many that have been on the waiting list have had to go into nursing homes, and they were able to identify at least 196 individuals. Over and above that, they said this doesn't count people who have gone into the nursing home and then reapplied to come back out. This doesn't count people that in various other situations. So it was really a very, very minimal undercount of at least 196 individuals who have been on the waiting list and have apparently been forced or decided that they needed to go into the nursing home because they simply weren't getting the critical services that they needed. If I could just talk about a couple of things here. It really is much, much less expensive in general for people to be in the community and receive the community services. Mm-hmm. And we have here just some studies that have been done. It says that annual institutional cost is per one study ranged between $30,000 and $60,000. And the annual cost of in-home services and a study in 1993 were estimated between $8,000 and $15,000. So the high end of that was of the community services was half of the low end of the nursing home services. And this is because when you're in the nursing home, we're hiring a nursing home administrator, a nurse, well, a chief of nursing, and then several nurses, a social worker, a psychologist, an occupational therapist, a physical therapist, a dietitian. And in all likelihood, you probably don't need all of those. You need just an attendant. So we had one individual that moved out of the nursing home that was getting all of these unnecessary services. And as Kathy has done, arranged for somebody to come in the morning, get her out of bed, get her dressed, help her eat breakfast, help her go to the bathroom. Mm-hmm. And then she got a full-time job. So then she was able to go to work, much as Kathy will go to school. And then when people at work would help her with going to the bathroom and eating and taking a drink and the other things she needed. She would then go home in the afternoon. Somebody would be there to help her get in and get ready for the evening, help prepare an evening meal. She would eat that. And then somebody would come in at bedtime and help her get to bed. She has somebody coming in three times a day for 1 or 2 hours at a time, much, much less expensive. The quality of life of having a full-time job versus some of the things that Kathy has talked about. Right. And this particular person, when she was in the nursing home, when they felt she was being too mouthy, they would take away her wheelchair. So she'd just sit on the floor for days at a time. Subsequent to that, she met someone that she fell in love with. They got married. And subsequent to that, they had two children. So now she's a mother of two. She's married, has had full-time jobs. And the quality of life of that compared to being in the nursing home is incomparable. And the savings to the state is huge. There's absolutely no – again, I go back to the fact that I cannot understand on any level, financial, economic, or humanitarian, why we would force people into the more expensive option of a nursing home. When the abuses there are so rife. And we've had problems in Utah, but generally speaking, the nursing homes, the potential for abuse is much greater. When I and Kathy could address this a little bit more, but when I have attendants coming in, I hire them. They're my employees. Mm-hmm. If they're not dependable, if they try to abuse me, if I don't like the way they're treating me, I don't feel they're treating me with respect, I fire them. And I put an ad in the paper and I hire another one. In the nursing home, I'm at the mercy of somebody to come in and investigate whether or not somebody will take this seriously, whether or not they'll feel that it's sufficient abuse. And we've talked to some of the ombudsmen and others in the state, and they've said that they're so busy with investigating these complaints that they can only address the complaints that are really life-threatening. And so we took testimony, our national group took testimony, and we heard stories of people who were forced to wash their face in fecal matter and urine. Of people who are forced to take ice baths in some of these facilities around the country. And you do not get that if you're hiring your own staff and your own attendants. So there's absolutely no level at which anyone that I know would prefer to be in the nursing home. And there's no rationale for the state to force people into nursing homes.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. My guests have been Jerry Cosley, the Executive Director of the Disabled Rights Action Committee, and Kathy Garber. I'm afraid our time is up, but this has been a very enlightening conversation, and I really appreciate both of you coming in today. Jerry, thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
And Kathy, thanks for your time as well.
Thank you so much.